Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live, where sarcasm goes to the movies and snark watches TV, with your hosts, the Horror Fatale and the Diva Mummy.
Welcome to HorrorFatale.com, almost live. I'm your host, the Fatale, bringing you this week's horror news, reviews, recaps, and information. If you would be so kind, please like, subscribe, and give us a rating at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or whatever platform you are listening. Is it listening on or listening with? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out.
I am Dracula. Oh, it's really good to see you. I don't know what happened to the driver and my luggage and... Well, and with all this, I thought I was in the wrong place. I bid you welcome.
Recently at LA Con, it was revealed that Bela Lugosi will star as Dracula. I know you and Gao. Is he still dead? Yes, he is still dead. Settle down. What is actually happening is that he will be reprising his role in a new graphic novel. Legendary Comics, in a partnership with the Lugosi Estate and Cary Gamble, announced that Bram Stoker's Dracula, a new graphic novel starring the iconic film and stage actor Bela Lugosi, with art by L. Gehring, is set to be released in late 2020. And if you were listening, that was the original 1931 very famous Bela Lugosi greeting where he uttered the "I am Dracula." I can't do that. So I got a peek at some of the artwork. And of course, if you go to horrorfatale.com, I have a giant picture there where you can not only see the logo for the upcoming graphic novel, but you can also see a full page out of the inside of the magazine. I mean, of the graphic novel, sorry. Not to call it a magazine. It's very cool looking. They did a wonderful job with the artwork. If you are into graphic novels and that kind of thing, you will thoroughly enjoy it. This will be set in the 19th century, and it'll be the Transylvania version of Dracula, where he moves to England to find fresh blood and spread his evil. And he'll have two encounters with two women, of course, Lucy and Mina, who become the targets of a dark obsession. And, of course, our brave men, Professor Van Housing, will arrive so he and Lugosi, you know, the vampire prince, can take on that ultimate, battle of light and dark. You can either follow along at facebook.com/legendarycomics for the latest news, or again, you can watch the horrorfatale.com space, and I will give you more updates and more sneaks and peeks as they become available. Also, in other community news, David Duchovny has joined the cast of The Craft. You know, when I read that at first, I was like, well, that's funny. He doesn't look like, you know, a teenage witch to me, but I'm sure he'll be playing someone's dad. It's kind of a weird cameo, I guess you would call that, because the dad character in the original didn't have that big enough of a part for someone with a name like David, you know, Duchovny. He's a kind of a big deal. I would think he's still a big deal. You know, he's X-Files. So for him to be taking a small role is interesting. So it makes me wonder if he's going to have a small role, or are they going to expand it? And I hope not, because it's all about the women, and we really don't need them expanding the role of the males. Sorry, boys. But it was announced again that in the Sony reboot, David Duchovny will star alongside the already announced cast of Kaylee Spaney, Gideon Alden, Lovie Simone, Zoe Luna, and Nicholas Galantine. and Zoe Lister-Jones is writing, directing, and executive producing what they're calling is a reimagining of the 1996 film. I don't know how I feel about them redoing this, because often to me, when they start remaking movies from the 90s and early 2000s, I'm like, already? I guess, well, they've run out of anything else, so now it's time to go, you know, to the late 90s and the early 2000s and redo those, because they've done all the 80s. I don't know. I'm torn. It'll be interesting to see how they modernize it, because I was a child in the 90s, and so we had a different set of issues of growing up and becoming women than these young women have now. So it'll be interesting kind of to see what the take is and how they bring it up to speed. I don't know. I just think, I guess I'm showing my age, because I really do believe that movie was classic enough to just kind of be left alone. Give it maybe another decade before you remade it, but we'll see. I was trying to see whether or not I had heard word about, you know, Robin Tooney or Fairuza Balk or Nev or Christine or Rachel getting a you know, appearance as a shout out, maybe as, I don't know, the store owner or one of the teachers in the school, something, see if to bring those characters back. Because it'd be interesting if it would have been interesting to see what happened to those girls. But, okay, that's happening. But it is Blumhouse, and I'm very partial to Blumhouse things, as you might have heard. We'll see.
There was these college kids who left a cell phone there. And I went through it to see whose it was. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. It's awful.
We opened something.
I'm scared. You're scared too.
You know, if you ever need to talk, I'm here for you.
You're acting guilty as shit.
What you just heard was the trailer for the film Wounds. It stars Armie Hammer, Dakota Johnson, and Zaza Betts. This is supposed to be this week's movie review, and I gotta say, sigh. Sigh, 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 and sigh some more. Oh my God. I really, really wanted to like this movie. And I just gotta admit, I did not like this movie. This is one of those movies where you sit there and you're watching and you're watching and you're watching. And the whole time I was thinking, why is this movie? Why? Who greenlit this movie and gave it funds? And I hate it. I hate that I have to, I'm going to calm down really hard on this movie. It sucks when a film has a budget and names and it still turns out really bad. A studio movie this bad. I cannot believe it. Anyway, Wounds. It says, it's the disturbing and mysterious things began to happen to a bartender in New Orleans after he picks up a phone left behind at his bar. Yeah. Okay, I'll just do it. It just never quite got to where I think the director wanted it to go. It's based on a short story, and I'm thinking it should have stayed a short story, and they probably should have just left it alone. It's very tricky in the first place to do any kind of movie with technology being the reason why XYZ is happening, especially supernatural stuff. You remember, I don't know if you guys remember, you probably do, but early on in the early 2000s when cell phones were, I think people really, really, really were getting cell phones and it was becoming like we were transfixed or whatever, and the texting and all that stuff was really starting. And they did a movie called Cell Phone. I'm sure I haven't watched it in years, but at the time, that was snickersome. You know, we were giggling at it as we were watching it because it was just ludicrous. But that mess was better than this mess. Okay. There are so many questions and so many choices that was made in the performances and, you know, in the storytelling that I have questions. First of all, Armie Archer, I'm not going to go in too hard on Armie Archer because he's kind of hit or miss. I've seen him in things where he's had pretty good performances and then you'll see him in something else and it's just like, what was that? He seems like a nice guy, although I was one of the people following him on Twitter at one point. He tries a little too hard, but I think he means well. I think he's just stuck, you know, with that last name and that pedigree, and he's working really hard to shake it. You know, I kind of think, Army, if you hear this, lean into it. Acknowledge, yes, I was born on third base, but I'm trying. You know, lean into it. That might work out better. Anyway, Army plays Will, and he's kind of supposed to be like the slacker guy. Again, you know, that's him. You know, Armie Archer, Armie Archer, who is that? Trying to, you know, be this regular, he's this regular, everyday slacker type kind of guy. He dropped out of college and he winds up tending bar. And he's like, you know, just throw care to the wind. We'll tend bar, live your life, you know, drink in the middle of the day, you know, or whatever. Okay. And the description, you know, kind of says his life unravels after he picks up, you know, the phone in the bar. You know, but honestly, from when you're watching the movie, his life was kind of never unraveled. So I don't know what the un part was. The premise is, I don't know, fucking weird, man. He's bartending one night, and I still haven't quite established, and I'm going to be completely honest, I stopped watching. So it's kind of a bit unfair for me to do an entire review of this because I did stop watching, but it was on schedule, man, so we got to push for it. Anyway, Zazie Betts is she's a barfly. She's a local barfly, but he seems to have had or have some kind of relationship with her. She plays Alicia. And one night when they're in the bar, she's there with her new boyfriend and some other regular bar people. And this group of young kids come, well, not young kids, they're probably college age. So they're 20, they're drinking. So they're 21, 22 maybe. And a fight breaks out and one of the young ladies drops her phone. in there. And hijinks ensue. But, it's just so stupid. He starts receiving text messages, and he's answering the text messages. He's looking at the text messages, but, you know, and some really sick pictures are coming through on his phone, and rather than, you know, turn it into the police or put it in lost and found or throw it away, he keeps fucking with the phone. I don't know. Right there, the premise is just stupid at that point. And you never get a grasp on what the fuck's going on soon enough for you to just check out of it. Cause I like checked out of it. Another character in the film and another plot is where we're trying to figure out what's going on with Will's relationship with his living girlfriend. What was her name? I can even see. That's how much of attention I was paying. Carrie. And Carrie's played by Dakota Johnson. Oh, gosh. What to say? Again, I don't want to go in too hard on these actors because I can't do it. But at the same time, she can't do it either. Dakota Johnson is just not it. You know, they're really, really working hard to make Fetch happen with this woman. But I don't know. To me, she turns out boring after boring performance, but they keep pushing her out there. I didn't think she was good in Suspiria. A lot of people did. I didn't see it. I didn't see it at all. I'm not getting it. You know, her delivery as Carrie in this movie on certain lines was just painful. It was painful to hear and painful to watch. I mean, oh God, there's one line where she calls the owner of the phone, "I see you next Tuesday." And it was just tragic to hear her attempt to be the kind of woman that would be, that would say that vulgarity. It just didn't work. It doesn't work. I don't get it. I didn't care one way or the other whether she lived or died. Actually, I didn't care whether anybody in the film lived or died. It was just that bad. Zazie Betts, whom, you know her. She's been in a lot of things lately. She was in Deadpool 2, one of the best characters in that. Right now she's in Joker. She's Van in Atlanta, which a show that I really like. She's a really talented young lady, and I'm like, Zazie, what you doing? Why are you in this? Why are you in this? Ooh, don't be in this. Call your people and get your name taken off of this movie, because no. I don't even want to lie and say that I'm going to finish it. I'm supposed to finish. I was supposed to have finished it earlier this week, and that, I mean, I just turned it off, to be honest. It's bad. It's bad. It's a bad movie. I'm so sorry. I hate going in on films like this again because I can't do it. I'm not an actress. I'm not a director. But it never gets to where it's supposed to be or what it's supposed to be. I don't know what it was supposed to be. And I would say this. If you are curious and you want to watch it, I would say go ahead. It actually streams today on Hulu. So, you know, it's on Hulu. Watch it if you have the service, if you have a trial. You know, it's free to watch it. It's just not good. I didn't like it at all. So, dare I say, I will finish it and finish my review and put it at horrorfatale.com. But I think I pretty much had everything to say. And I apologize to everybody involved in this film. But no, it's a no for me. Next week we'll have a film review for, it's getting to be a lot like Christmas or whatever that song is. I don't know. I'm tired. I'm getting tired, guys. I'm getting punchy and slow. Anyway, Next week, we'll have a review for a film called Holiday Hell, and it stars Jeffrey Combs, iconic legend Jeffrey Combs, and it looks really cool. I didn't insert the trailer, but the trailer is currently up at horrorfortale.com, and what it's about is a young lady last minute trying to find Christmas gifts, and she wanders into a shop owned by Jeffrey Combs. And, you know, if you're a horror head, just like, girl, run. But she doesn't. She sticks around, and he gives her objects, and he shows her objects, and he gives her four tales for each object, and none of them are good. None of them are good. So, well, I'll see what happens, and I'll let you know in the review next week.
Nancy Drew. Why does he say your name like that?
Okay, you guys, as you might have guessed from that brief snippet, that was the trailer for Nancy Drew. Okay, I've picked up another TV show to add to the roster. Nancy Drew is currently airing on the CW. Okay, wait, hear me out. I know you're like, wait a minute, hold on. Nancy Drew? Really, bitch? Yes, really. They're doing the same thing that they did with Riverdale, the same thing they did with Sabrina. It's for young adults, which for three more years, I still am one of those. Middle age starts it. I'm not going to say the age because you'll guess mine. But I got three more years before I'm technically in that box. So I can watch these shows. Anyway, but the first episode of Nancy Drew, I was on Twitter. And I was just watching because I didn't watch it at first. And all these people were tweeting about one of the very first scenes, and Nancy Drew was having sex, and I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute, hold on. So what they've done is made her a grown-up lady. She's 19 or 20 years old. I know she's a year out of high school, so I'm guessing she's like 19 or maybe even 20 years old. And of course, a 19, 20 year old single lady, okay, I get it. I'm not bothered anymore. But you'll really kind of like, I'm liking this adaptation. I watched the first episode and I have the second one to watch. What they've done, they've modernized it, of course, and she has a crew, you know, a diverse crew, which is always good. And I love when they do that, you know, because the world is diverse. And, you know, and what they've did was, here's the reason why I'm adding it to the roster. I gotta see how they continue this. This may just be the first season because of the mystery that she's solving, but they've added a supernatural horror element into it. I mean, an active ghost story background. They had a seance and everything in this first episode. So I'm just saying, I'm going to discuss it just because of that. So, you know, bear with me. So from time to time again, I'll be popping in, letting you know how Nancy's mysteries is going. Let's talk about episode 4 of Creepshow. I'm just going to call it this. Shudder has really knocked this series out of the box. It's very entertaining. It's very in the vein of those movies, which, one more time, I cannot tell you how much I love those movies as a kid. They're 80s, they're goofy, they're silly, but they hit the horror marks, you know? And you have to appreciate that, the way that they've done it. And Shudder's done it again. Every episode I'm entertained, even, you know, for ones that I didn't love. Tonight's episode is episode 4, and it, the full review that we do every week, again, is already on the site because, full disclosure, I am privy to the episodes ahead of time from Shudder, as I am with Hulu. The reason why I reviewed that movie, Wounds, is because I've had it for a while, and it took me a while to get through it. So my opinions are honest, as you can tell, because I don't pull punches, even if I am in a slight relationship with the provider. Anyway, back to episode 4. Tonight's episode, two segments, The Champion and Lydia Lane's Better Half. I'm not going to spoil you on either episode, but The Companion involves a scarecrow. And I got so excited because, again, child of the 80s, huge fan of Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. That's some scary shit. Scarecrows are scary in general. So I got so excited. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. Not my favorite segment at all in the series so far. To me, it's kind of the weakest one that they've shown. And I know it was because of time constraints or whatever, but I love having questions, but at the same time, I didn't like having these questions that I have. There were a couple situations that are kind of major gaping plot hole-ish, you know, and I wanted to know more, but I realized they only had, you know, 15 minutes or so to work it all in. So I get it, but it was a little bit disappointing. The Scarecrow, you'll see. Yeah, okay. So I'll leave it at that with that one. But the best part of the episode, the best segment to me, was Lydia Lane's Better Half. And it involves, you know, Lydia Lane, who's this L.A. known. I think she's just L.A. known. She might have been world known, but she's L.A. Woman of the Year. And she's a psychologist. And things go awry, and she winds up in an elevator, stuck in an elevator with her dead lover. Yeah. Okay. It's really good. It's really strong because there's not a whole lot of action. It's just Lydia, and it's played by Trisha Heller, who I'm a fan of. She was the mom on Lucifer. I was real sad when that character went away, so I'm a fan of hers. She carries this episode, that segment of the episode, and she does it so strong because when you have one character and that's all you have to watch and that's all the action, you better bring it. And I think she does, because you're drawn in, you feel her tension, and it's a slow descent into, dare I say it, madness or whatever. And it'll have you questioning, is she crazy? Is this happening? Is it crazy? Is this happening? And you have to wait till the end to see it. I don't do spoilers unless I tell you I'm going to spoil you. And I'm not doing that because I want you to watch it. So, again, another very good episode. Had a weak segment, but it, you know, they made up for it on the back end. But this, like I said earlier, the Scarecrow is pretty scary looking because scarecrows are scary looking. And again, they had some good callbacks, you know, in there as usual. Literally made one of the characters named Billy. Well done. Well done, Shudder. Keep it coming. Let's see. I'm not even going to bother to tell you to watch Room 104 again. Relationship with HBO. See episodes before they air. A new episode of Room 104 will be airing, tonight on HBO. I'm doing this the day before, so it's Thursday for me, but it'll be Friday when you hear this. And it's called A New Song. And it's another one of these episodes where I'm like, why is this episode? It's up there with The Animal. What I notice about this whole show is this: when they do episodes that aren't horror or, you know, suspenseful or creepy or something like that, it doesn't work. I don't know. It's a hit or miss. It's been a hit or miss this season. They had The Plot, which was really good. Animal for Sale. I was confused and didn't understand the whole point of that whole show. I have a suspicion why it was there, but I can't discuss it right now. The episode Itchy was really good as well. Rogue, I really liked. Drywall Guys, last week's episode, I hope you guys watched it, was really good. It was a really good, different take on sleepwalking. But this one was just, to me, kind of a waste of a film. I feel bad, again, because I know when a writer sits down to write something, this is the last thing they want to hear, but it was just pointless. I will give it points for being pretty. The imagery in it's kind of haunting, and I guess the music is kind of haunting, and it's called a new song, and yeah, that's what I thought. It was actually written by Mark Duplass and directed by Mark Duplass. Okay, now I feel extra bad. But anyway, the episode involves a singer-songwriter on tour, and she confronts her inner turmoil while trying to compose her next song. Yeah, so she checks into room 104 basically to write a new song, and we get to watch that. Yeah. I would just say, I mean, again, if you have HBO or HBO Go, you can watch it on demand or stream it for free. So, you know, if you're curious to see whether I'm just being extra harsh, then do so. Let's see. Lastly, the final season of Supernatural is airing now, and from time to time I'll pop in with thoughts. I'm really sad about this ending of this series, because Misha Collins, he tweeted out, you know, the night of, how sad he was to, you know, not going to be engaging with this and, you know, anymore. And it got really sad. I got a little bit clipped because, you know, I've been with them for, what is it, 15 years? I don't even remember, but I have never missed a season. And I'll tell you guys, I ain't loyal. This bitch ain't loyal. If you start to bore me or whatever, I will drop you. But this one, I haven't dropped Supernatural. I've been with it every season. I've dropped Walking Dead. I have no idea what the hell's going on in Walking Dead. When Rick left, I left. But there are several shows like that where that I just really liked, and I'll just check out. Because if they have a bad season, I'm like, I'm out. But I'll check in with you guys. So I want to ask you guys one more time, like, subscribe, and rate the podcast. I think I'm getting better. It may be just in my head, but I'm really enjoying this because I get to talk to you guys about different things, and keep emailing me. That's fine. I wish you would comment. That would be helpful. But anyway, you can follow me on Twitter at Horror Fatale and on Instagram at The Horror Fatale. I'll be back next week.
To the other kids at St. Bernard Academy, they were the girls who didn't belong.
Whatever you do, stay away from them.
Why?
They're witches.
But after years of being on the outside...
Why'd you lie about me?
I don't want to go out with you again. Please, stop begging. It's pathetic.
Four girls are about to discover the dark side.
You ever heard of invoking the spirit?
Black magic. Less magic, sticks of art. Less magic, sticks of art.
We can make things happen. I mean, this is it. This is real.
Columbia Pictures welcomes you to the witching hour.
Wow.
Check it out, her spell is working.
Sit.
Watch out for those weirdos.
We are the weirdos, mister.